This is file number 4, cycle 2. Today's date is October 19th, 2015. This is Jean McMillan, and I am interviewing Martin Whalen, who is going to talk about growing up in town, his misadventures as a child, and anything else he wants to talk about. What is your name?
Martin J. Whalen. Oh, okay.
Martin James Whalen.
Yes, that's me. Yep.
And when were you born?
July 18th, 1943.
And where were you born?
I was born in St. Mary's Hospital in Waterbury, Connecticut.
Your parents' names?
Joseph A. and Victoria H. Whalen.
And Victoria was a Hines.
That's correct.
Do you have brothers?
I have 4 brothers. And
they
age are Andrew and Peter, Timothy, and John.
What's your educational background?
High school and 1 year of aeronautical school.
High school was Housatonic
Valley Regional? Housatonic Valley Regional High School, right.
Good. We're going to start with being a young man and baseball.
Oh.
Andy Whalen, did he have a baseball school?
He did. He worked for Wilbur Hemmerly during the summers, and he had a baseball school at the community field. And he did it while he was in college, as a matter of fact. And he also was, I think he did that in the morning, and he was the lifeguard in the afternoon at the beach. So,
would this be under the recreation program?
Yeah, it would have been.
Okay.
Would have been back then, sure.
All righty. Did you ever play baseball with Frank MacArthur Sr.?
Yes, briefly, for like 1 year. He was still playing, yeah.
Okay. Yep. I understand he was pretty good.
Oh, he was very good.
And he was
always
a nice
remember
man.
When he had this when he was in his prime, and I was a young boy, yeah, like between 10 or 12. He had this huge bat, and it was purple. I always remember that. It's purple bat, and it was about looked to me like it was like 4 feet long. But he was just amazing. He was the best bad ball hitter I ever saw. He always got the bat on the ball. Very rarely struck out. Very rarely.
Do you know what fungos are?
I know what a fungo bat is.
Okay. Because I got that from his son David. About learning how to do fungos.
Yeah.
What position did you play?
I was a catcher.
Ah. Do you remember some of the men or young boys that you played with?
Let's see. I mean, on the when we got to be like older than teenagers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. Jeff Marchant or Rusty Chandler or any of those.
I played with Rusty Chandler a year. I don't think I ever played with. Yes, I did too. I played with Jeff Marchant a year or so. Andy was on the team. I remember that. He was our shortstop.
Any of the McCartney.
Bill Fox.
Bill Fox.
Bill Fox. Ooh. Yeah, Bill Fox. What was it? He lives up on Mount Riga. His family's been there for
Griggs.
Years.
Steve
yes.
Griggs.
Steve Griggs.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I can remember. Right?
Well, that's good.
If I think of anybody else, I'll just shout it out.
Oh, good. I like that. All righty. Now, you had a connection with Taconic. You had some friends out there.
I did. I had Hobie Terhune and I were great friends when we were growing up. And I used to ride my bike to Hobie's house, and then we'd go to the channel and swim in the channel, which was, we had a rope and a tree, and we'd spend all day there. It was just such fun.
If you're riding by bicycle to cut to Taconic, did you go 41 or did
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, it was flatter.
Yeah, right.
I didn't have to climb that. It was safer, too, because you'd have to climb the what they call the S's there by
Salisbury School?
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That was pretty dangerous. So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
No, always up 41. It wasn't a bad ride. It was kind of flat. So.
Yeah. Did you go over Beaver Dam?
I would go down, Beaver Dam Road and then back to.
Yep.
And back to Hobie's, which was just a short distance down the road.
Hobie's real name was...
Hobart. Yeah.
Okay.
Hobart.
Did you go swimming at the Grove?
I can remember going as a, a really young, when Mr. Timmons.
Do you remember what he looked like?
Not exactly. I remember we used to pay a quarter. We used to pay him a quarter to go swimming. And I don't remember, I remember going over there, and this is completely different than it is now.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little shack. You gave him a quarter, and I can't remember what he had a place. I think he had a place where you could put your clothes while you swam. That's what the quarter was for, I think.
Ah, okay.
And you put it in some kind of, I think it was like a wire basket or a soda box.
Oh, probably.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then when you got done, you
had to get your clothes. Yeah.
Had a little place back there you could change, and you put your clothes on and off you go.
Okay. I know he rented out boats. Do you remember a boat named Jacko?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
That was a boat that Jack Larney.
Jack who?
Larney. L-A-R-N-E-Y. Used to have. And that was the name of his boat, Jacko.
Ah.
I don't know. I guess whether maybe that's what people called him. But he would be out there fishing. I knew him when he was retired. I mean, I never knew what he did. But he would sit out there pretty much all day just fishing basically in the same spot. If you went in the Grove today and you went down the road and you kept right on going, he'd be right out there. He had the same spot. He'd sit there for hours.
Oh.
And he would be the color of an old catcher's mitt that you left. By the end of the summer, he was so brown. It was like...
Oh! Lord love him.
He was a nice old man.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, you worked out at the Gillette Estate.
I did. I worked for Mr. Barrows, and I don't remember his first name at all.
Barrows?
Barrows. And I think it was B-O-R-R-O-W-S.
Okay. What did you do out there?
I was like, I weeded the Pachysandra, and I edged they had all these walkways. There was a pea stone in, and I had to edge the walkways. Pretty much, he didn't let me do any mowing. I was pretty young then. So anything he was done was either with hand tools that couldn't like
hurt yourself.
It could like hurt myself.
But you had a hatchet story.
I did. I was making some stakes to put. I can't remember what it was for, but I was cutting a board. I was just trying to slice a board, and I missed the board and hit my finger.
Ooh.
And I came into his. I remember he was in his kitchen having, and I came into the kitchen. I was bleeding all over his wife. I can't remember her name. She oh my God, what did you do? And so he wrapped it up. Took me to Dr. Brewer.
Oh, good.
Yeah, he took me to Dr. Brewer. Dr. Brewer took a look at it. And he goes, well, we'll just put a couple stitches in this, you'll be fine. And
you are.
I still have the scar. Every time I look it right there.
Oh,
I thought,
yeah.
And I go, well, I know where that came from.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Yeah.
I've got down here Mark Simon from Shadow Rock over on Cleveland Street.
We used to pal around. We never realized Mark Simonon. We called him Simonon.
You're right.
But I don't know. He was just a regular kid. When I got older and found out who his father was, I thought, well, that was pretty neat. I palled around with...
Yeah, somebody famous and didn't know it.
Didn't know it at the time. He was just another kid in town.
And that's okay, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the way it should be.
Yeah. He was just another kid. We would pal around at the Grove, and I'd see him all. I'd see him occasionally. We're just friends.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be. Nels Harrington? Herring?
Herring.
Upland Meadow Farm? Upland Meadow Road.
When I got out of high school, I worked for him for, let's see, one, two, about 8 months, I think it was. And he was building the first house up on Upland Meadow Road, which was his house. That was the first house built up there.
Okay.
And I just worked for him as a gopher. Anything he wanted me to do. The kid do it. Get the kid to do it. Pick this up.
Yeah, I had that position. Yeah. I know what that's
sweep
like.
Sweep this up. My big job was to sweep up. Now we sweep, he'd say. Now we sweep. Then every once in a while he'd say to me, Martin, go measure that. Go measure that. And I'd go measure it. And I'd tell him what it was. He'd come right behind me and measure it again.
Because he
never trusted me.
Yeah.
And I remember his oldest son, Ken, worked with me. He was a couple of years older than I was. And we were both, I remember it was wintertime. And we were putting that vermiculite insulation in the bags. We were putting it in the ceiling. And Ken slipped off the rafter and put his foot right through the dining room ceiling.
Oh.
And I said to Ken, I'm not going down there. I'm staying up here. They had just finished the floors. The floors were finished. And here's this huge hole in the ceiling.
I helped my father put in that kind of insulation. I know.
Now I guess somebody was telling me that's not, if you got it now, you have to have it vacuumed out because it's not safe. It's not safe?
No.
I didn't know that, so.
Things change.
I guess.
That's the way it goes. You worked for Ward Finkel.
I got laid off in the wintertime.
Really?
Construction kind of slowed. I got laid off, and I just could not stand the thought of not having a job. I just had to have a job. I had to have something to do with it. Because there was, I don't even know if there's unemployment back then. I don't know. I never tried it. I never tried to get it. So I went down to Ward Finkel, and I asked him if you needed anybody. He goes, So I worked for Ward for maybe probably a year and a half. I'm pumping gas I remember one time Angelo Marcon.
Oh,
he was Tina Marcon's father.
Right.
He brought a battery down one time. And I said to him, Mr. Marcon, you want this battery charged? He goes, no, I pay cash. I said, no, do you want me to charge the battery? Yes, he goes.
Oh, my word. You had a Sam Whitbeck story about him and a nickname first and then the story with the golf
shoes. My father called Sam Whitbeck Pills.
Pills?
Pills. That's what he called him. I don't know why, but that's what my father would call Sam Whitbeck. And one day about noon, I saw Sam coming up the steps of the post office, and I saw him going into the vestibule. Then he got onto the terrazzo floor, and I heard this clicking sound. And he started going like this, and he had his golf spikes. He still has golf spikes on. He'd been playing golf.
Yeah.
And those golf spikes on that terrazzo floor, it was like being on a pair of roller skates.
Sure.
So I said to him, Sam, stand right there. Don't move. So I ran out the office door. Grabbed a hold, took him by the arm, took him over to his mailbox. I can still hear him. Escorted him back out onto the near the steps with the handrail so he could get down there. And I said, don't forget to take your spikes off before you walk into the kitchen. Your wife will kill you. You have a linoleum floor.
Oh, but, my. Now, in the line of postmasters, it was Fred Constantine.
Right.
And then his wife took it over.
Right. Marie.
And then your dad.
Then my dad.
And then you.
And then me.
Okay.
Right.
He got that right. And your dad retired about...
I think my father retired in... Let's see. 19.
You told me about 79.
I think 78 or 79. I don't remember exactly, but it was one of those 2 years. I want to say it was 1978.
Was he in the fire department?
He was in there for a long time.
Chief?
No, he never was chief. I think he got as high as foreman. He was a fire marshal in town forever. Because I remember Mac Chamberlain, who ran Wake Robin Inn back in the days. I remember Mac Chamberlain, because he always, every time he opened up in the spring when he came back from Florida, he had a place like a Wake Robin Inn he ran in Florida. And every time my father would have to go up there and inspect all the fire extinguishers. And I remember saying to Mac Chamberlain was saying to my father, you've signed like 50 of these permits. So it must have been for a very long time.
Oh, my word. over from your dad in the post office about 79?
Yes.
Okay.
About a year later.
And you stayed in Lakeville until 87?
86.
And then went to Litchfield.
86. I think I went to Litchfield 86. Because it was, I was in Litchfield about 13 or 14 years. So maybe 87 would be right.
And then you went to Litchfield.
Then I went to Litchfield.
Odd question, but was it through choice or was it a reassignment?
No, it was choice. I applied for the job became vacant in Litchfield, the postmaster's job, and I applied for it.
Why, can I ask?
Why? I just wanted something to
different.
Do. Something, yeah, something different.
Out of your own, yeah.
Yeah, I want to get
out
of
your own town.
Exactly.
Makes sense. That makes sense.
I wanted a little more. It was a bigger office.
Oh, yeah.
More responsibility, more carriers, more headaches.
Well,
but I wanted
right.
it anyway.
Yeah, but it's nice to do something different.
Yeah, it was nice.
You know,
it was hard for a while until I got acclimated. Then I really,
it would be.
I really enjoyed it. Met a lot of nice people in Litchfield.
Oh, there's a lot of nice people down there.
Yeah,
almost
yeah,
as many as here in Lakeville.
Yeah.
you retired in 2000.
That's correct. Yeah.
And you have a number of civic boards that you've been on.
I was on the Recreation Commission.
Yeah, all right. Do you know how long you were on the Recreation Commission?
Oh, wait a minute.
Go get your diploma there.
1972 to 1988, I was a chairman. And I was on the board actually from 1967 to 1988.
Wow, that is a long time. 67 to 88.
Right.
How about the fire department?
I was in the fire department probably 35 years.
Were you an officer?
I was a treasurer.
Oh, that's a good job.
Yeah, that's it. For
years,
I think
years.
I was treasurer for 8 or 9 years.
Has the fire department gotten bigger over the time or stayed about the same?
You mean the enrollment?
The enrollment.
Enrollment actually has gotten smaller.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because fewer and fewer
able. It's so hard. It's hard to get volunteers. I mean, really, it's a
It takes
problem.
A lot of time to do the training.
Yeah. Now, years ago, you didn't have to go through.
Yeah, but now you have
to. Now
all
you have to. You have to. Or they
I've
firefighter one or the state demands that you have that training.
I've talked to a couple of guys that are in the fire department, and it blew me away with the number of hours of training that they had to do. And it's on their own time.
Exactly.
And their own gas.
And
they're dedicated.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys that I've talked with, all right, I had them in fourth grade, but still.
Yeah.
Because there's a family history, as there is with you. Your dad was in the fire department, so it's sort of something,
right.
you know.
Right.
And we're losing that now, I think.
My older brother was Andy. When he was after college, he was in Minichog High School, which is in East Longmeadow.
Mm-hmm.
But he lived in Enfield, and he was actually the chief of the Hazardville Fire Department for years.
Oh,
so it sort of runs in our
blood. Runs in the family.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing.
It was all good. Even the Hazardville people were volunteers. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Ambulance.
I joined the ambulance in 2001.
Oh, after
as a driver.
Retired.
Yeah, right after I retired. I saw something in the journal that said they were looking for drivers for the ambulance. I go, well, I can do that.
Yeah.
So I went up and I just asked Mike, I think it was Jackie Rice at the time.
Yeah.
I said, I understand you're looking for drivers. She said, well, yeah, so you interested? I said, yeah, I'd be very interested to do it. So I did that. I did that for a year, and they said, "You know, we really need more EMT. So you want to take the EMT course?" I thought, "They go, well, you can do." I mean, I said, "I don't know, you can do that. It's not. It's just 130 hours or something like that. And you have to go to the class every Thursday night." So I said, "I'll do that." I think it was Khaki Schaefer Reed.
Oh, yeah.
Did it at the same time. So,
I did her.
Yeah, it was fun. It was tough. I mean, it wasn't easy. You had to learn a lot of things. I mean,
yeah. Oh yeah. But it's all important.
It was very important to do it right.
Oh yes. Yeah, please do it right.
Do it right.
You know, if you're working on me, do it right.
Right. Exactly.
I told that to all of the ambulance people. You know, if you're working on me, make sure that if it's the left foot that's broken, you fix the left
right,
foot.
Right.
Planning and zoning.
I got on the Planning and Zoning Commission, and Gene, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but it was the year Gordy Johnson got off the commission, and I had.
That must have been back in the 90s.
Yeah, it was back in the 90s. It was early 90s.
Yeah, it was.
I was still in Litchfield. I remember I was still in Litchfield when I took that over, so it's got to be whatever years, how many years it is. It's been a long time.
What does planning and zoning actually do?
Well, planning and zoning is just a way of orderly growth.
Okay,
orderly
I like that.
In the town.
That sums it up nicely. Orderly growth. I like that.
Yeah, that's basically what we do. It's like there's rules and there's things you can do and there's things you can't do. And there's a reason for it.
Did you have to do any specialized training for
that? No, I all learned all that on the fly.
Okay.
And it was interesting when I first got on there, the people that applied for different permits to do different things, and people that wanted exemptions, and people that wanted this, it's a real balancing act.
It would have to be.
Yeah, it's a balancing act for to. Not to inhibit your rights as a citizen, but on the other hand, give some
fair.
Consideration to your neighbors too.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you can do that, and everybody's happy, if you have some,
it makes a difference.
We try to say that if you give up something, you'll get something.
Compromise.
It's a lot of it is compromise. People are dead set against you, somebody doing something, and say, well, how about if they do this? Like, say, we plant a row of trees or something, so you can't even see this thing. Well, that may placate somebody and say, okay, fine. I just don't want to look at it.
Yeah, I had that happen in my neighborhood. And now the trees are so high.
That's right,
the
nature goes so
please,
high.
Please, cut
the
trees.
See under them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many are on the planning and zoning?
There's five regular members and three alternates.
How often do you meet?
We meet twice a month. One meeting we try to do zoning issues.
Mm-hmm.
The next meeting, like it's the first and third Mondays of every month. So the first we try to do zoning issues. If somebody's asking for a permit or for do something, we try to do on the first one. The second one is the planning session. And some communities have two different boards. They have a zoning board and a planning board. We have to do both.
But it would make more sense to have it as one board because then the right hand knows what the left hand is doing.
It does. Yeah.
Lime Rock Cemetery. You got stuck on that one.
It's
how you got stuck.
Oh, Lee Collins. Bonnie was the tax collector for the Lime Rock Lighting District when you first moved down here. And Lee was the tax collector. So he's always looking around for somebody to pawn these jobs off on. So Bonnie got the tax collector job. And then a few years later, he asked me if I would like to be on the cemetery board.
Uh-huh.
And I said, sure, I can do. Yeah, we only meet once a year.
I know.
The last Monday in June.
Yep.
I said, well, I guess I could do that. It's not too time-consuming. So I went to the first meeting. Everybody greeted me. The next meeting, for some reason, I missed. And Lee calls me up on Tuesday. He said, we missed you at the meeting, but now we elected you chairman.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He said, so let that be a lesson to you.
Don't ever miss. How long have you been on that? 10 years?
Oh, 15 years.
15?
Yeah, I'll bet. Yeah.
You moved to Lime Rock in 68?
1968, yep.
Oh, care goodness. What haven't I asked you that you really want to talk about?
Oh. You know, I had such fun growing up in this town.
Tell me about it.
Oh. You know, when you come in a family of five, it's... You always got somebody to play with.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, we were seven people in a three-bedroom house.
Were you always on Porter Street?
Always on Porter Street.
Your mom's still there, isn't she?
My mom died the other day.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
You've always got somebody to play with.
Mm-hmm.
You know the neighborhood kids.
Yep. And there was kids.
Oh, yeah.
There was kids in every side street in this town.
Oh, sure.
And that's one thing I really can't get over. It's like, there doesn't seem to be as many kids on these side streets. Because it was all workforce housing. If you
know. Oh, yeah.
That's what they call it, now, workforce housing.
Sure. Everybody
and,
worked.
Everybody worked.
Everybody had a bunch of kids.
We all met at the ball field. We'd be down there till dusk, you know.
Yeah.
And we'd be going to the Grove. And it was just a great place to grow up.
Stewart Theater had gone pretty
much. But
we
used to go to the Stewart Theater. I mean, as kids, we always...
Yeah,
one of us would go in and pay, and then open the side door on the right-hand side of the theater and let the rest of us in. I don't think they could lock the door legally, but they had somebody that knew.
Uh-huh.
They probably watched you, right, like, oh, no.
How about the bowling alley?
The bowling alley was under the theater, but I don't remember ever doing anything in that bowling. I remember going to Canaan when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
They had a pin, duck pin by the theater.
Duck pins, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That was downstairs underneath the theater.
Usually they were,
yeah.
Ours was located under the Episcopal Church.
So everybody had to behave this morning.
Oh, yeah, sort of. We didn't go on Sunday morning, though. Oh, it sounds like it was a fun time to grow up because you got on your bike and you just went.
Nobody, my mom used to say, when she got really frustrated with us, right now, she'd say, all right, out, go to the Grove, go somewhere, be back by dark.
Yes, yeah.
And stay out of trouble.
And if you got into trouble... You were corrected
by... My parents knew before I got home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the way it used to be.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in that kind of an environment because I grew up in a city. And you were... I was an only. So I was heavily protected for a lot of reasons. But in talking with various people of our age, that's what they say. There was a whole lot of freedom. And they really enjoyed living in
town. Yeah, it was like carefree. Those times back, we were also innocent, really. I mean,
very.
Really, it was, I guess, I picked a great time to grow up in this country.
Oh, good. You did. You did.
I feel sorry for the kids today. I mean, it's
so different.
It was so different.
Yep.
So different. So carefree.
Yeah.
You know, and you didn't worry about, anything.
No.
That was adults. That was the adults' problem. Let the
adults handle it.
Let them worry.
Oh. Anything else you want to add?
Anything else I want to add? No, I think that pretty well covers it. And it's been, you know, I've had no regrets about living in this town.
Oh, good.
My entire life.
Good.
None.
It's a nice town.
It's a wonderful town.
What a good way to end.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.